You know, if you received the email yesterday, that soon we're going to begin the process of selecting elders. In fact, Olin will say more about that in just a little while. And I think that when you choose elders, that's both an exciting and a challenging time. It shows that a congregation is growing, that there are men there who may very well be to that point in their lives where they're qualified to serve as elders. And many times when we begin a process like this, we'll turn over to 1 Timothy, we'll turn to Titus, we'll look at those lists of qualities that are given, and sometimes we'll dissect those out, and there's a place for that, to study each one of them individually, maybe take several weeks to do that. However, when you look at those qualities, they're not that hard to understand. Oh, there may be a couple of them where we have questions about the exact wording, but as you look at those, you begin to see a picture emerging. You begin to see a picture of a man who is spiritually mature. This morning, we're not going to look at those two passages, though they'll certainly be in the background of our study. Instead, this morning, as we talk about the idea of an elder, what I'd like for us to do is to consider this from the standpoint of our theme for the year. Last week, we talked about how that we're going to focus this year on Christ living in us, as the apostle talked about Christ living in him. As we talk about elders, certainly this quality must be there. In fact, this must be the kind of man who we're looking for as an elder. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the idea of the chief shepherd living within an elder. As we've just read here in 1 Peter, Peter describes the elder as being a shepherd, using the comparison to Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. And so this morning, what I'd like for us to do is to approach this perhaps from somewhat of a different angle, to look at the idea of an elder not only as a leader, but a leader as Jesus was a leader when he walked this earth. I believe a man who is looking to become an elder can look at the leadership qualities that Jesus displayed here on earth as the chief shepherd became man, and from that learn to be the kind of elder that God desires within the local church. 1 Peter chapter 5 is going to be our text this morning, so if you're still there, keep your Bibles open. You might want to turn back. We'll be alluding to those verses as we go through this morning. But as we begin, let's talk about the idea of that ability to lead. Sometimes we miss that as we study Jesus' ministry. We think about his miracles, we think about his parables, we think about, as we've talked about this morning, the great sacrifice that was made. But one of the things that we also need to study is how he could lead men. And that certainly was very well evidenced in his relationship with the apostles. Much of his work on earth dealt with being a leader to these men. And as he took these men from a point where they had little knowledge of what was going on to a point where they were then prepared to go out into all of the world and to preach the gospel, there was a great deal of leadership quality displayed within the Son of God as he took on this role. And for just a couple of minutes here, let me talk about a few of these. I think one of the big things that we see very early on is when Jesus assumed that role as a leader over these apostles, he articulated what he expected out of them. In fact, what we just alluded to, he said over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He said, what I want to do in the next years that I have with you is to take you from where you are and to make you the kind of person who can go out and spread the message of the gospel. And as we watch the New Testament unfold, from the book of Acts forward, we see them doing that very thing. We see these men going out and this mission that was given to them, certainly that's what they were doing. On the other end of the spectrum, he also very much guided them toward their ultimate goal, not only giving them the mission, but telling them where this mission would eventually lead. We think about John chapter 14 in the midst of all of this difficulty that the disciples were going through as they processed the information Jesus was saying. Listen to what their leader told them. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you?" That's a wonderful leadership quality. Here were men who were troubled. Here were men who were having difficulty, kind of grappling with all of this that's going on, that Jesus was going to die, that persecutions were going to come. And Jesus said, "Let me remind you what this is all about." Maybe you've had a leader like that at some point. Maybe it's something where you were involved in a very difficult task and the leader said to you, "Keep your eye on where you're heading." It's exactly what Jesus did with these men. When they could have easily given up, Jesus told them to press forward. So not only He gave them their mission, He also told them about the ultimate outcome. He didn't stop there, though. He also dealt with their weaknesses. And as we look through the gospel accounts, what we find is that they had a number of them, didn't they? There were many occasions where Jesus would take His apostles and He would have to deal with these problems they were going through. Let me just give you one example of that that I think stands out so clearly in what Jesus as leader had to deal with. In Luke chapter 9, verses 54 and 55, it says this, "When His disciples James and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, do You want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?' But He turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of.'" Here was man's approach, right? They had rejected the Lord. Therefore, these loyal followers said, "Let's call down fire on them. Let's destroy them right here and now." And it was a head-shaking moment, wasn't it? As Jesus said, "You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're saying." And again, that is just one of so many examples of where Jesus as leader is saying, "Okay, here is a weakness, and here's how we're going to respond to that." But also, to balance that out, we also find that Jesus encouraged their strengths. I think that is brought out so clearly as Peter makes the grand confession of faith in the Lordship of Jesus that He is the Christ. When he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Here is Peter, though he had weaknesses, he was at a point where he got it. And as a leader, Jesus encouraged that. Here was the line of thought that Jesus wanted not only Peter, but all of the apostles to pursue. He saw what they needed to be, and as leader, He led them to that. Now, tying that in with our study this morning, those same kinds of qualities must be present within an elder. Men who are going to take this position need to understand that. In fact, as we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, we note verse 2 again, the very beginning of it, where Peter says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you." Built into the idea of being an elder is the idea of being a leader, of being able to take a group from one place to another. And as we make that point, let me just simply say this. There are lots of good, godly men who do not have leadership quality. That is not to say that they are not godly. That is not to say that somehow they are deficient in some area. But there are some men who are just not leaders. Sometimes congregations, in their haste to have elders, will appoint men who are not leaders to be leaders. Have you ever seen that happen? I'm familiar with the situation, though it's several years in the past, where a congregation did that very thing. There had been problems. The congregation was kind of trying to get back on track, and they appointed a man who was not a leader. A good man, a godly man, a faithful family. It was not a good situation for him or for that church. And we need to understand that, that if we are taking a man who does not have that ability and we're putting him in a position, it's not only going to be detrimental for him, it's going to be detrimental for the congregation. So we must realize that there has to be that quality of leadership. Now that being said, let's talk about these men who do have shepherding ability, how do we recognize their leadership abilities? Well, one thing is, just as Jesus did with His apostles, an elder has a vision for the congregation over whom he's serving as an elder. Along with the other elders, there is a vision of where they want that congregation to go. Obviously, it's got to be biblical. Obviously, it's got to be tethered to the truth. But there is an idea there that they want the congregation to go beyond the status quo. An effective leader is never satisfied where we are. An effective leader never says, whether he's in the secular world or, as we're talking about this morning, in a spiritual way, never does he say, we have achieved, we have reached the pinnacle, there's nowhere else for us to go. And a man who's going to serve as an elder must have that vision. Something else that I think makes us able to recognize a good leader is a man who understands that situations are handled differently. If you have been associated with education, you know that one of the standard statements that a parent is going to make is this: I just want to make sure that everything is handled fairly. I just want to make sure that there is consistency in all decisions. Well, to a point, there's a lot of truth in that. However, whether you're in education or in business or in the church, you cannot handle every situation in a cookie-cutter pattern. Why? Because a good leader recognizes differences among people. In fact, Jude brought this out when he talked about how we handle situations with spiritual problems. He said, save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy and fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. We know that, don't we? There are some people who need to hear a straightforward message. You are in sin. You are heading straight to hell if you don't change. There are others who need a very gentle approach. What does a good leader do? He first of all knows the person. Second of all, he recognizes, I am going to use the best way of dealing with that. Now, are we going to say that every elder is perfect 100% of the time? No. Not every teacher is perfect 100% of the time. No business professional is perfect 100% of the time. But a leader is one who is making sure that he's taking the time to know the members of a congregation so that the situations can be handled in the very best way possible. Just as Jesus is going to encourage good actions in members, an elder is one who is not so much concerned about the physical surroundings, he's concerned about the souls of a congregation. And whether this be a group of teenagers who are deciding to do a very good work, whether this be a group of deacons who are very good at the jobs that they do, whether this be members of the congregation who are very zealous in going out and evangelizing, whatever the situation, an elder's going to encourage when he sees godly growth. We know that from all leadership abilities, don't we? Whatever the situation, again, whether it be secular or spiritual, a good leader is trying to get people to do better, and when that better is done, encouragement is there. I don't want to use a lot of teacher references this morning, but let me use one more. I have seen in my career, just a word of encouragement can do so much more than a whole lot of rebuke. If you can ever find a student, I remember one young man years ago, he was ornery to deal with. I tell you, he's one of those that I'd wake up in the morning kind of dreading having to deal with him. But one day he did something really good, and boy, I just poured it on. It was amazing the change in that young man. It was like no one had ever done that before for him. A leader is going to do that in a local church. A shepherd is going to encourage that so that members are pressing on beyond the status quo, doing good things. And on the other side of that, an elder, a leader, a shepherd is going to refuse to ignore problems, even when they're difficult. There are times when it's a whole lot easier just to ignore something. There are times when it's a whole lot easier just to pretend that there's not a problem there. God's warned us what happens when we do that. And so a leader is going to refuse to ignore that problem, even though he knows that there will be consequences of his getting involved. Nonetheless, he's showing that leadership ability. Let me bring out a second point with this. Secondly, as we look at Jesus, the leader on earth, not only do we see his ability to lead, but we also see his willingness to serve. And boy, I tell you, you think about that with Jesus and how much of his earthly ministry bears this point out in such great detail. That's hard for us to fathom. First of all, that a king would serve his subjects. We think about that even in earthly ways. That a king is there to be served. He has all of the servants bowing and scraping to him. How odd it is to think that here is the King Jesus Christ, but not only the King Jesus Christ, the one who is in the form of God, who did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but poured himself out, taking on the form of a servant, that God himself would condescend to serve us. But that's exactly what we see. And I guess the passage which bears that out most strikingly is when Jesus was teaching that to his apostles. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it to his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And you remember the protest from Peter, Lord, you'll not wash my feet. And Jesus explained the quality of the servant leader. Peter responds, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Of course, Peter quickly changes his mind, doesn't he? But here's the example of a king, of deity, who carries out the most humble task possible to show what it means to serve. And as we think about Jesus Christ in that regard, we think about how here on earth our leaders have no real concept of that. We still call our leaders public servants. But how many of us view our representatives and senators and president as a servant of the people? No, that concept is far removed, as again they've taken on the role of being served. What does this have to do with our study? Well, if a man is going to be an effective leader, if the chief shepherd is living in this shepherd, he's got to have the same attitude of being willing to serve. He's got to be the kind of man who is willing to do for others what needs to be done. Let's note verses 2 and 3 of 1 Peter 5 once again, where he says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. We think about this, and there's got to be an eagerness there. A man who must be coaxed into serving is not ready to be an elder. Now, that's not to say he might need some encouragement. There are men who I believe are so humble that they're a bit hesitant to take on that role, though they are good leaders. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a man who just really doesn't have a desire for the position, but people are after him and they're telling him what a wonderful elder he would make, and so they're kind of pushing him into that. That's not what we see in Jesus. When we think about the role that Jesus took, there was a willingness there. Think about John 17 when he said, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. There was no coaxing Jesus to come to earth. The Father didn't have to prod him into these positions of leadership. No. He did it because he knew of the good that could be done. And he did it despite the pain that he knew that it was going to bring. Which I believe is something else and a man who is going to serve in this position needs to consider. That just as Jesus was eager, he is eager. Just as Jesus was willing to endure pain, he's willing to endure pain. Well, what are those things? Well, a lot of times when you are not associated with elders intimately, you don't really realize the pain that's involved. I would say one thing, it's time away from family. Men usually are older, maybe children out of the house, but nonetheless, there's a lot of time that's lost between a husband and wife because he's busy shepherding the flock. Meetings that are being held, visits that are taking place, all kinds of things like that. Well, that would be a painful thing. We think also about the unfair criticism. A man who is in any kind of leadership position has to be ready for that, because it is a rare day when 100% of the people agree with a decision that's being made. A leader's got to decide what's best and do it. For an elder, he must decide what is godly, what is right, what is truthful and best and do it. And sadly, sometimes that will be met with criticism. And if we take it a step further, sometimes just flat out rejection. Here is a person who an eldership is talked to, and the person doesn't like what they hear and just simply rebel against that very thing. Well, Jesus, as a leader on this earth, experienced that rejection. He experienced the unfair criticism. However, as chief shepherd, he saw what was best for his sheep. And an elder who is allowing the chief shepherd to live within him sees what's best for the sheep. And he does it. And he follows through regardless of the pain that might be brought. Let me say this as well. In many ways, you've got to see within an elder the spirit to serve. Again, looking back to chapter 5, the first part of verse 3, when he says, not domineering over those in your charge. Here is a man who is taking this not as a means of some prize that has been won, not some position of honor that has been given, not a way where he can tell people what they've got to do, but as a servant. As Jesus Christ showed the way, so too does he. And to get there, pride must be conquered. An elder who is a proud man, not may. An elder who is a proud man will cause problems. He will cause difficulty. And so a man who is seeking this position, a man who is going to be a shepherd to a flock, must make sure that he is dealing with things in a very humble way. And a very good test, I believe, in this is when he disagrees with someone. How does he present himself? Is he a man who is going to get red in the face and argue and be the loudest in the room until everybody sees things his way? Or is he going to be a man who calmly and firmly stands for the truth? Not because he wants to be proven right, but because he wants truth to prevail. That's the test of making sure that a man is ready to serve and has this spirit of being willing to serve. Let me say this in the process where we are right now. As we think about the appointment of new elders, the men that we're looking for are men who are already servants. These are the men who are already carrying out many of the functions that they'll carry out as elders within a congregation. Here are men who not only have that servant mentality, they're putting that servant mentality into action. So, who amongst us would make good elders? Well, let's look around. Let's see which men are teaching classes. Let's see which men are active in the work of this church. Let's see which men have their homes open for hospitality, who on a very regular basis are allowing people to come in and they're building these relationships within a congregation. Those are the men who have the spirit of servitude within them, who are willing to be that kind of servant that Christ was. And we take this and we compare it then with those qualities that we find given by Paul to Timothy and to Titus. And it will be in that combination that we find men who very much are willing to serve. Let me make one final point. We see not only their leadership ability and their willingness to serve, but we also see that in a man who is going to have the chief shepherd living in him, a man who longs for the unfading crown of glory. Jesus, the leader, certainly did this, didn't he? He had this longing. Jesus knew where He wanted to be. I go again to John chapter 17, verses 6 and 24. In the prayer that He was praying, He said, at the end of His ministry, I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me because You loved Me before the foundation of the world. Jesus longed to be glorified once again, to return to the glory that He had had before coming to earth. And in a sense, a man who desires to be an elder must also not to return to the glory as Jesus had, but to have that crown of glory that Jesus will give. So as we think about men who would serve in the position of an elder, they must have heaven in their vocabulary. When you talk to a man who is going to make a quality shepherd, you're going to hear talk about things to come. Here is a man who within his conversations, you're going to hear spiritual things, publicly, privately. You may talk about a number of things. You may talk football, you may talk weather, you may talk politics, whatever. Lots of things we talk about. But you're also going to find within his vocabulary a whole lot of talk about spiritual things. That's a man who's longing for the unfading crown. That's a man who sees where he wants to be. And I would say in turn, he's going to have the desire to take others there also. You begin to look at those qualities found in 1 Timothy and Titus, and you'll see this. Here is a man who wants to take his family to heaven. Here is a man who has been a faithful father, a faithful leader. He's made sure that his children are raised up in a good way. He's made sure that they've had a spiritual diet. He wants them to go to heaven. He may want success here in this life. He may encourage college. He may encourage career. But above everything else, his desire is eternal. Here is a man who wants his brethren to go to heaven. Here is a man that as he works with a local church, he has a great desire that everyone be saved. And that would include also the struggling brethren. You think about even amongst our number, we have some who struggle so with their faith. And how easy it is to allow those people to get outside of our thinking and to think only about those with whom we have weekly associations. A shepherd is concerned about the one out of the flock that's lost. Though 99 be in the fold, still the one who's out there he's trying to bring back in may not meet with success, but nonetheless the desire is there. And he certainly has a concern about those who are outside. He's a man who's interested in bringing the gospel message, not only in this area, but throughout the world, whether personally or through financial means. Whatever the case, he wants those who are lost to be saved. Here is a man who longs for that unfading crown of glory. And if we take all of these points, and we see how that Jesus was a leader on this earth, the desire to lead, the willingness to serve, the longing for glory, we understand how the chief shepherd lives within an elder. Because a man who desires to serve will have the same qualities and have the same goals in mind. We think about this, and it's very easy to make it sound like no man is qualified to be an elder. I have sat through a few sermons, and I'm afraid probably preached a few, where it makes it sound like that a man who is going to be an elder must be perfect in every way. Well, we're not going to have any elders if that's the case. We're not going to have elders who are perfect, who are mistake-free. But yet, on the other hand, an elder must be a man who, when others look at him, they see Christ living in him. They see within him a desire to be not only godly, but to help others be godly as well. And I believe we have men like that in our midst. We certainly have four who are serving now who I am firmly convinced meet those qualities, and I believe we have others who could join in that good work. And so as we think about elders this morning, let's think about these men. Those men who will take it upon themselves to be our shepherds and to guide us in the ways of salvation.